Let's have our Bibles open to Psalm 89, the 89th Psalm. We're going to start there. I want to spend our time in this hour talking about the honor that we are to give God when we assemble together to worship Him, as we are doing right now at this moment. This is something that we have studied as a congregation in the past, and it's been recommended that we look at it again, and so we're going to open up the Word of God. We're going to revisit this subject and remind ourselves of the importance of giving God the honor that is due unto Him, that He is deserving of, as we are assembled together to worship. Psalm 89, verses 5 through 7. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. We are living in a society that is becoming more and more casual, more and more relaxed. You can see that going back past 100 years, that trend has continued in our nation, and things people are casual in their appearance, they're casual in their speech, and they're becoming more casual in their attitudes as well. I remember as a youngster, when there was a funeral procession, you didn't think about it. You pulled over and stopped. That's not automatic anymore. You would take off your hat, and speaking of your hat, you take your hat off when you entered into a building, especially a church building or a courtroom or an official building. You would show that respect. So these different institutions, these different traditions that we have in our nation where we used to show respect, they've fallen victim to this casual attitude, but religion has as well. Sometimes religion has played a role in this. Denominations for a long time now have been offering alternative casual services. That is, you come as you are. And the idea behind these groups, however noble or sincere it may be, they're wanting to grow. They're wanting to get the numbers in. And if people don't want to dress up for church, fine. We'll make a church for those who don't have to dress up. And so we've seen that trend, and it's actually been around long enough. We're starting to see how that trend is backfiring and is not working for them as well as they were hoping. But this idea, come as you are, it appeals to those who have a laid-back and casual attitude, which is fine in certain areas. My question right now this morning, is that fitting for when we assemble together to worship God? Or maybe more pointed, can we do Psalm 89 verse 7 with a casual and laid back attitude? And I would say no, we cannot. So we're going to talk about that. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 28 and 29. And the book of Hebrews is written to Christians, Jewish Christians, who are suffering for their new faith, and they're deciding, they're toying with the idea, they're deciding to abandon it and go back to Judaism. Because they didn't have persecution back then, they didn't have suffering back then, and the writer of the book of Hebrews writes this masterpiece thesis, in which point after point he makes the point to them that what you have in Christ is superior and better in every way to what you had under the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, a one-word summary of the book of Hebrews would be the word better. What you have in Christ is better. Now, look at verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, that is, a better kingdom than what was promised under the law of Moses. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. Let's pause right there. Serving God acceptably, that passage tells us by default, there's an unacceptable way to serve God. And indeed there is, and all you have to do is read through the Bible and you'll find example after example of unacceptable service to God. So we want to serve Him acceptably. How do we do that? What does that involve? With reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Think about that reverence and that godly fear that is necessary if we are going to be acceptable before God, if we are going to be welcomed into His presence. It wasn't very long ago in our Wednesday night class we studied Exodus chapters 3 and 4, and just a few classes ago they did so down the hallway in the children's classes. And here's Moses in the wilderness shepherding, and he sees a bush that is burning but it's not consumed. And he's interested. He's curious about that. So he turns aside and he starts walking toward it. And the voice of God cries out and says, Moses, stop. Take your sandals off your feet. You're walking on holy ground. You're drawing near the presence of God. You'd better humble yourself and prepare yourself before you draw any closer into my presence. Our God is a consuming fire. And when we assemble ourselves together to worship Him, we are assembling before that same God that told Moses, stop, prepare yourself before you draw any closer. We need to do so with reverence and with godly fear. So let's take a look at some things that we need to be aware of and some things that we need to be doing to make sure that we are worshiping God acceptably when we assemble ourselves together. What are some things? Number one, worship is in spirit and in truth. John 4, 23 and verse 24, which means worship comes from the spirit of man. It comes from our heart. And so we need to make sure that our hearts are attuned. And we need to make sure that we are in the right frame of mind every time we assemble together to worship God. We need to be remembering some things. Number one, we need to be remembering what it is that we're doing here when we assemble together. What is the phrase that we use most of the time? We're going to church, right? Nothing wrong with that phrase. Nothing wrong with that expression. We understand exactly what we mean by that. We mean, we're going to worship. But we need to know what that means. We're not coming to this building so we can see each other and be seen by each other. We're coming to this building so that we can worship God. We need to remember why we are here, what we're doing here. We need also to remember who God is. God is so big, He is so great. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember everything we need to remember about God. Scattered through the Bible are what we call theophanies or throne scenes. That is, times when God has revealed Himself to individuals or on Mount Sinai to an entire nation, and the individuals were overwhelmed by what they saw in God's presence. I believe the first one is there in Exodus chapters 3 and 4 at the burning bush. I want us to look at Revelation chapter 4. Turn with me, if you would, to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. There is a final throne scene that really is based on all of the throne scenes that have come before it. And we won't take the time to read the whole chapter. It's not very long, but I want to read verses 8 through 11. I want to see how people are reacting to this visage of God, to the appearance of God. The four living creatures, each having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, notice verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Look at the reaction here, these 24 elders. Whenever the four living creatures are singing and praising God, they fall down before God. And that is something that is common with all of these experiences. Moses fell down before God there at the burning bush, hid his face in the ground. Isaiah does the same thing. Ezekiel does the same thing. Daniel does the same thing when he sees the angel, falls down like a dead man, showing that reverence and showing that honor to God. We need to remember who God is. And while we're not falling down before our faces physically when we assemble together, that better be where our heart is. Our heart had better be in that posture of reverence and bowing before God. And we also need to remember why God is worthy of our worship. The word worship means to show religious devotion or reverence to one. We wouldn't do that unless we first understood why this person was worthy of such. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2 help us to understand why God is worthy. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If you want to get a good understanding of what our attitude should be about God and why God is worthy of our worship, spend some time in the Psalms. Because the Psalms spell this out. What do we have in these two verses? In these two verses, we have an explanation of why those 24 elders were taking off their crowns and casting them before the throne of God. Because He's worthy. He's worthy of these great blessings. Give unto the Lord, you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength, the glory that is due His name, that is fitting to Him, that is proper to give unto Him. Why? Because He is our Creator. That's what we read in Revelation 4 and verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. And by Your will they exist and were created. As we look at this physical universe, every bit of it was created by God, is sustained by God. I'm somewhat of an astronomy, I don't want to say nerd, so I'm not going to say that. But maybe I'm really, really, really interested in astronomy. And of course, you know, this past month, the planets have been lining up. And that's been fun to go out and to look at in the night sky and to see them lined up. And to know that our God lined them up. Our God lined them up. And every time we look at His creation, we're reminded of God. He's worthy of this worship because He created all of this, but let's make it personal. He's worthy of this worship because He created me. He created you. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. So there's two ideas here in these two verses. God has made us, He's created us, and He shepherds us. That is, He provides for us. He gives us everything that we need. And we could go on and on just on this point alone. This has been enough. We know who God is. We know why He's worthy of worship. We know what we're doing here, but we have to remember it. We have to remember that because we worship God not by rote, not by tradition, but in spirit and in truth. Secondly, we need to make sure that we have the right attitude when we assemble together to worship. And if we spend a little bit of time remembering why we're doing it, that helps to correct our attitude and to bring it in line. We have to worship with a heart that is prepared to worship. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 19 talks about those who would walk with God, who would be right with God, or those who have to prepare their hearts to be with God. And we need to prepare ourselves. The worship is prepared, the sermon is prepared. I wouldn't want to listen to an unprepared sermon. I wouldn't want you to listen to an unprepared sermon. The song service is prepared. You know the priest in the Old Testament? The priest couldn't just walk into Jerusalem and walk up into the temple and start serving. They had to consecrate themselves. They had to prepare themselves before they ever stepped into the courts to serve the Lord. How much more those who are priests in a new and better covenant? We need to be careful to prepare our minds and spend as much time preparing our minds for worship as we do preparing our physical appearance for worship. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a moment. But we need to spend some time getting our mind ready for worship as well. Humility. We must have the attitude of humility when we assemble before God. Several good lessons are taught in Luke 18 with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who are praying before God. Remember, the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I don't do this or that. Here's all the good things that I do. And the tax collector, verse 13, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We must come with a humble attitude when we assemble together to worship God. And we must have an attitude of respect. We started off saying that's declining in our world. We understand that. Let it never be said of God's people that we are losing respect for our God. Isaiah 66 and at verse 2 says, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist. Now let's go back to that idea that God created everything. And he did. And that's what he's saying here at the beginning of this verse. I know we're just looking at one verse. Let's be honest with the context here. He's saying, I've created everything. I made everything. But here's what I'm going to look at. Out of everything that I've made, here's the one that I'm going to give attention to. Here's the one that I want to be with. But on this one I will look on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. The person who is humble. The person who will humble themselves and the one who trembles at my word. The one who respects God and respects his word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, after Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls around the city, and by the way, our gospel meeting, it is a month away. Brother Benjamin Lee is going to bring us sermons based on Nehemiah, talking about arise and build. And so we're going to dig into Nehemiah more in that gospel meeting. But we know Nehemiah rebuilt the wall around the city, but after he rebuilt the wall, he saw that the people had to be rebuilt. And so he called for Ezra to come and to read the law to them. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They stood up. Notice, they didn't stand up when Ezra got up before them. They stood up when Ezra got the law of God, a scroll, and they saw him unroll that scroll. They stood up out of respect for God's word. They were about to hear God's word. We do that same gesture today in our culture to show respect. In a courtroom, all stand when the judge enters into the courtroom. At a wedding, we'll sit and we'll watch all the bridal party, all the procession, but then when the bride comes down, we all stand out of respect for the bride. That gesture is a way of showing respect. We started last week with the recommendation of a member, and us elders believe it's a great recommendation. We're going to start standing. We're going to be standing in our 11 o'clock service as the scripture reading is being done, as a way of reminding us of the reverence we need to be showing to the simple reading of God's word. Do we tremble at God's word? Because if we don't tremble at God's word, we're not going to tremble at God. We're not going to show him that reverence, that godly fear and reverence that he is deserving of. So when we worship God, to do so acceptably, we need to have the right attitude. Two more things I want to look at. Gazelle speed. Here we go. Strap on those sneakers. Let's talk about our dress for just a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, speaking to the wives, to the women, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And of course, the argument from this and from John 4, verse 24, is God sees the heart, and as long as my heart is right before God, that's all that God cares about. And that sounds like a good argument. But is it? Remember, our society is trending towards dressing down and trending toward being casual. And we understand that. But the last people who should be getting on board with societal changes is God's people who are holding to the old paths. I want to tell you, I'm kind of looking forward to the day that I don't have to preach in a tie. I don't know who invented the tie, but I hope he choked on it. But now it's a way that I show respect for what's happening here. The way we dress does matter. And if it doesn't matter to us right now, it does matter to some of our brethren. And we need to remember that. But yes, God sees the heart. He knows what's going on in the heart. But the way we conduct ourselves and the way we have ourselves appear before others reveals what we're thinking in our heart. So let's think about that. Let's consider that. And I'll get off that limb real quick before it gets sawed off. Let's talk about our conduct as well. Different situations allow different kinds of behavior. What is appropriate in one situation and one occasion may not be appropriate for another. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. After the Apostle Paul has spent three chapters talking about miraculous gifts and the worship assembly, the last verse he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Our worship services are to be conducted in a decent and orderly fashion. Now, worshiping God in spirit is going to evoke emotions from us. As we think about our Lord's suffering, we're going to have an emotional reaction to that. If someone comes forward and obeys the gospel, we're going to have an emotional reaction to that. There are some hymns that we sing on certain days that get to me just like some of them get to you. We'll have emotional responses from time to time. But we have to make sure that our conduct is honoring God and edifying God to one another. And that's something that we can control and that we are responsible for. Just a brief review. As I said, we've talked about these things before, but a brief review of some things we need to remember as we are assembling ourselves together to worship God. Our God is a consuming fire. He is worthy of the very best that we have to bring before him. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. So let's come here with our minds engaged, remembering who God is and why we worship him with the proper attitude, with the proper attire, and with the proper conduct. And let's worship God in an acceptable way. Let's pray together. A loving Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you allow us to call you our God and our Father. We're thankful for your word that reveals your greatness to us in a way that our minds can grasp and can begin to understand. We pray that you would help us to honor you in our worship here today. and our worship that we participate in here every time we assemble together. We do so knowing that it is preparing us for that great and awesome scene in eternity when we will be worshiping before your throne for days without end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.